guys. Back on Earth Radio.
We've got Jim in Louisiana on the line. So are you a gardener there, Jim?
Oh, yes, sir. Uh-huh. I'm a gardener. I have animals, you know, and you know, I guess you have a relationship with your pets and your animals. You know, you realize that they feel things and they understand what mood you're in. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that nature has consciousness, you know, and it's from God. I mean, how can anybody say that there is no God? But it's all, you know, a part of God. It's not pantheism, in my opinion. It's just realizing that God is one. God is all things. And anything that's outside of that is dead. And, you know, so I have no fear of death. I have no fear of Satan and hell, because they don't exist, in my opinion, because in eternity they are outside of the goodness and the beauty and the love of God, which I see all around me in the universe. I'm sorry.
That's my argument. All living things are imbued with, of course, life. What is life? Scientists, you know, scientists can't explain it. They don't know what it is.
Sure.
There's a force or an energy. I mean, what makes the difference between a living person and a corpse, or between a living tree and one that just got cut down?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's life, right? But what is life? Where does it come from? You know, even if scientists could produce a tree, you know, if they could get all the right chemicals together and they could actually construct it, and they can't. But, I mean, even if they could, or even a full human being, get all the right chemicals together and they could manufacture, they can't give the thing life now, can they?
Exactly. Yeah, you know, but you hear about more gallons in these self-replicating fibers. I guess that's as close as they can get. But, you know, all things being said with nature, no, how can that be replicated? No way. All the intricacies of the atoms and the cells and the molecules, the enzymes, all working symbiotically. No way that could happen accidentally. But, you know, as I said, that just verifies and gives credibility to the work that I do, you know, in trying to protect nature and some of these native ecosystems, you know, such as the ancient forest in the Pacific Northwest or any native system anywhere, because it's multitudes, myriads of life forms in there all working symbiotically to make that system work. And, you know, as you're laying out, these are conscious creatures, conscious beings, if you will. And
you know, yeah. What's sad is there's so many species out there we don't even know about. They estimate that we only actually, with all the cataloging that they've done over the past several hundred years, intensely studying different life forms and you know, giving them names and categorizing them, they say that we only have about one-tenth of the world's you know, plant and animal species cataloged, identified. They're
incredible.
Always finding new ones. And, of course, all the while, they're going into places like the Amazon and destroying
so much
of it. We're probably losing real important, maybe cures for different diseases. Well, of course, they're not interested in cures, but you know what I mean.
It's everywhere.
They're destroying plants that could probably give us the cure for a lot of ailments, and they're being lost.
You know, a good guest you might consider having on is Tim Hermack, executive director of the Native Forest Council in Eugene, Oregon. You can find him easily on the internet. And he's very passionate about protecting these native ecosystems that are in our commons right now, you know, in our national forests and public lands, because they've always been commons.
All this deregulation is going on, so the environment is being polluted more than ever before.
And he's a good one to talk with about Ron Paul and the libertarian perspective on the environment, because he's really scared of Ron Paul. He's saying, well, he's just going to sell everything off to the highest bidder. You know, then our living life support system of the planet is going to be continued just ravagously disassembled.
Where did he get that from?
I'm sorry?
Where does he get that from?
That's a good question. That's what I'm saying. He'd be a good one to talk about, you know, in areas.
I mean, you think he's against Ron Paul?
Yes. As I said, he's afraid of his philosophy when it comes to selling off our public lands and commons, you know, our life support system, if you will, to the highest bidder.
That's not Ron Paul. I don't know where he got that from, but
He's
got his head too much in the woods and not enough in the newspaper. Anyway, was that it, man? Because I got another call away.
Yeah, appreciate your show. Really, I do.
All right, Jim. Thanks for calling, man.
Yeah,
we got another caller, folks. Mike in New York will take him when we get back. Stick with us.
Mm-hmm. The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run, yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. We got Mike from New York calling in. Go ahead, Mike, you're on the air.
Hi, Charlie. Thanks for taking my call, and great show as always. I'd like to give you some background stories on my experiences with Mother Nature. But first, to follow up on what you were just talking about with the wanton destruction of the environment. And, of course, it all comes down to oil consumption and our energy being based around that, and the suppression of all the alternative stuff that's been around for 100 years. And we would have never been in this situation if we were employing those technologies. And it's very sad that the public at large is still clueless about any of these facts. And so all the attempts to save me, I'm an environmental scientist, by the way. And all the attempts to save the environment in all these other directions is futile. Until we actually just get off oil. And then our problems are going to go away. We won't be a chemical-based society anymore once we're off oil. That's really
it's nasty stuff. And forget the oil spills. We've had plenty of those.
But just
the burning of oil, it's horrific what it's doing to the environment. And, of course, they don't care. That works into their agenda.
That's right. It's the whole process from the beginning of the extraction to the transporting to the utilization, the consumption of it, the burning of it.
It's
the whole process.
It's unnecessary. It's bad for the environment. And, of course, today it's really bad for the pocketbook. Of course, that's by design. But I mean, there's so many safer and cheaper and healthier and,
right.
you know, energy methods. No, they don't want to sweat your silver. If they were sincere right. about doing that, they would have done it back in 1973 after the first fake crisis. But, of course, since they staged the fake crisis, they never had any intent to do anything about it.
Sure. But, or they could have done it all the way far back as World War One and World War
II.
Yeah.
Tesla, oh, sure, yeah.
Tesla
yeah.
technology. It's been around for a very long time, all these alternatives. And so clearly that's our ultimate problem facing our planet today. These elite cabal, wealthy men that have bought up all the banks, own everything, monopolized everything. At this point in our time today, they control everything. It's unbelievable, but they are a monopoly, the ultimate monopoly, an octopus.
Well, that is single-handedly what is currently responsible for the downturn of the dollar, the big mess we're in, all the foreclosures, you know, the fact that people can't afford their mortgages is directly attributable
right.
to the cost of oil. Oil drives everything else up, everything. There's no quicker, surer way to destroy an economy, this economy, because we're based on oil.
Right, exactly.
Than to raise the price like what they're doing. That's all part of their agenda to destroy. Hey, you know, they got to make it safe for the MRO coming up in 2 more years.
Well, you know, ultimately, Charlie, what you were saying is exactly the bottom line. You see, we know they're devil worshippers as well. And that's why they're out to destroy all of God's creation, not only enslave mankind, his pinnacle of creation down here in his third dimensional plane, but also all of God's creation, Mother Nature. Look how disconnected people are from Mother Nature today. That alone has baffled me since I've been a kid, because I'm very close to Mother Nature, fortunately, growing up in a rural environment where there was woods all around, and all we did was play, climb trees, and, you know, did everything kids, good, healthy American kids did back in those days 50 years ago.
You know, one of the best vacations I've taken in my life was this past summer. And it wasn't going to, you know, Mexico or Canada or California or, you know, Colorado. I've been all over the place. But none of that compared to just going to a local park down the street here. We got a lake. Well,
mm-hmm.
one of the main reasons it was so enjoyable, I had my girlfriend with me. But nevertheless, being out there with
her.
That
always makes it a plus.
But you know, just out in nature, I picked her a flower, you know, a really pretty wild flower that was growing, and we're just watching the ducks on the pond and the birds flying over and just listening to the sounds
right.
of nature. To me, that's where it's at. It's so relaxing and away from the hustle and bustle of so-called civilization.
You know, right. everybody gets the same effect too, Charlie, because clearly that's God's garden, and that's the only peaceful place we can ever dwell in where we'll really feel peaceful and relaxed and calm and positive, also positive.
Yeah. And you know what? It didn't cost us a penny either.
That's right. That's the beauty of it, and the natives took very good care of it, very good care of it, and we got to credit them for that. But ultimately, that's what their plans are, just to destroy all of God's creation and enslave us and make life miserable for everything.
Sure, yep.
Yep. So now with Mother Nature itself, I, since I was a kid, very fortunate, very, very fortunate, very mature at a young age and had a lot of spiritual activity around me since I was born. And so as I got older, I was introduced to Mother Nature. She's for real. She is the goddess. Nobody, you can't get around it no matter how much you want to try. She's part of the real Trinity, the Father, the Creator, the Mother, the Sustainer, and the Son, the Redeemer. And so anyway, because
yeah,
of that.
The natives really had it going. They understood, you know, that the earth was, you know, they considered it sacred. And it is, you know, it's something that we've been entrusted to watch over and protect. And, of course, we're doing just the opposite. It's so sacred.
Actually, yeah, it's so critical to our well-being and survival that Mother Nature's there. We won't exist
right.
if she's gone.
Yeah, it's only to our advantage to take care of it, not only to appreciate it, but to survive. But you know,
that's
yeah,
right.
Look what they're
exactly.
doing.
Just that reason alone. And so I had a gift with animals. My mom called me St. Francis since I was a kid, and wild animals, domestic animals, they gravitated to me. And so now some of my experiences with the animals would be raising dogs, Springer Spaniels. Besides raising them as all vegetarians and piece of cake, I had five at one time. and very easy to raise as vegetarians. I had the mom raise them, weaned them, broke them right in, raised them that way, and in a very healthy way. And they were phenomenally smart, well-groomed, clean dogs, and but they ran in the woods all the time. And so all the time when I'd be working all day or had been away for a while and I'm on my way home or wrapping up at the end of the day, I'd always ESP to my dogs, hey, guys, I'm on my way. Hang in there. And so my mom would always say, who lived next door to me, she would always say, Mike, I know when you're always coming home because 5-10 minutes before you arrive, your dogs go crazy. And prior to that, they're calm and relaxed and, you know, not doing anything. So I said, sure, they know, you know, I'm communicating to them. And so that's all for real. And I can do that with any kind of animal, wild, domestic. And that's why they gravitate towards me because I know exactly how to communicate to them, even insects, bees, everything. I don't get bothered by anything, not even ticks. When I run... when I ran my dogs year after year through the woods around here in the northeast New York, where it's tick city, people are afraid to go out in the woods these days, which is unbelievable. We grew up in the woods. We never even seen a tick back in those days, mind you. And so, but ticks, my dogs, I'll be picking ticks off my dogs all day long. I don't have one tick on me ever, and I'm just walking around in shorts most of the time in the summer. And so I communicate with everything like that. And even one time now, this is the honest truth, when I was running the dogs through the woods and we're coming out in a field, we're accessing about 1,000 acres of property, farmland and woods and all fields. So we're coming out of the woods into the fields, usual routine, and I hear this big noise behind me, and then I thought maybe it was some of my dogs behind me, but then I count them all up in front of me, all within 30, 40 yards distance of me in the fields, running around, sniffing. And all of a sudden, I look to my left. There's this biggest deer I ever seen standing right next to me. I could just pet him if I wanted to.
Wow.
And he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. Now I'm realizing I've got 5 Springer Spaniels running this field. They don't miss a thing. If there's an animal around, they'll find it, even though they won't harm it, because I taught them not to harm anything, and they never would. And so, but they'd be curious, of course. And so I'm looking at this deer. He's looking at me, and I'm realizing, wow, this deer is not even afraid. My dogs are all over. I got 5 of them. They're all around here within 40, 50 yards at this point. And we're in a field, and my dogs are always concerned about where I was, what I was doing. So they're always checking in on me, looking at me.
Kind of like what I was talking about yesterday, yeah.
This whole time, for what
did you get a chance? Do you have a computer? Did you get a chance to search, like I mentioned yesterday, you know, do a Google search for videos like talking dogs? And
no, I missed that part, but I will.
Oh, you got to do that. You got to do that.
I love to see that.
Those things brought tears to my eyes. I just sit there watching. I'm like, it's just so mind-boggling. It's like, wow.
Yeah,
and I
got to see that.
Thing.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
We almost heard our dogs once in a blue moon. You swear they said something. They spoke a word once in a blue moon. They are that intelligent, and that's a fact. And when you question, you know, like, you know, what's going on here and do we have some kind of connection we don't know about? And sure, exactly. There is another sense, and and it ties everything together. And once you know how to tap it and use it, then it's at our disposal. And it's very useful and can be powerful, so that's why most people don't know about it, because it's a lost ability, and it's lost because it was abused at one time. And I demonstrated it to a friend as well, who went on vacation to Cancun and then traveling to the pyramids in Chichen Itza.
Yeah,
and so I told her, when she gets to the top of the pyramid, just do this technique mentally, calling me, and I'll tell you the time and the day you did that. So when she came back, she first thing right out of her mouth, okay, don't tell me anything, just tell me the day and the time. And so I told her it was going to be a Tuesday around 2:00 in the afternoon New York time, but it's not, it's Thursday 2:00. And she goes, that's unbelievable, we were going out Tuesday, then the weather went bad, so they...
Yeah, I've had stuff like that too. It's really weird.
Yep.
It's freaky,
right?
How about when
right.
you wake up like a split second before the alarm clock goes off? It's
yeah, and we all have those. That's right, and occasionally we all have the glimpses of that power at our disposal, just coincidentally,
right? Anyway, Mike, we got to go to break. Was that it? Did you have any more comments? Or?
No, that was pretty much it, Charlie. Thank you. Oh, Charlie,
right,
yeah, let
lot,
me
man.
Tell you, Charlie, let me tell you one. Can I hang on 1 second?
Okay, sure. Yeah, we'll be right back,
thank
folks.
You.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. Your host, Charles Giuliani. We got Mike on the line from New York. You know, I just remembered this story. This is pretty neat. Did you ever pat a wild raccoon before, Mike?
Almost.
I don't recommend it, actually. I called the vet the next day, and he says, oh, you probably shouldn't have done that, but I guess I was a lucky one.
Yeah.
We had one. We had a freak warm spell in the early 90s, got up to be like 70 degrees in the middle of January. And we had a raccoon that had come out of hibernation, and he was sleeping in this pine tree outside our window.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I noticed over the next couple of days, it lasted for almost a week, this warm spell. And over the next couple of days, I noticed sometimes he wasn't there, other times he was. So he was all messed up. His time clock was all screwed up, you know?
Yes, he's
so
sick.
One afternoon, I hear a dog barking fiercely out there. I'm like, oh, no, don't tell me, that, you know, they got in a fight or something. That thing will kill the dog. We had just a small little terrier, you know? So I looked out. He looked all right, but he was barking toward the shed. I'm like, oh, geez, he must have gotten in the shed somehow. So I pulled the dog in the house, and I go outside, and I didn't realize that the shed door, I don't know, my son or somebody had left it open or, well, actually, no, my son wasn't even born then. I don't know, it was maybe some neighborhood kids or something. Anyway, so I looked around the corner, and sure enough, the door was wide open, and there he was sitting right there. All of a sudden, I'm just face-to-face, just a few feet away, looking right in the eyes of this thing. I'm like, uh-oh. I mean, they're miniature bears. You know, they can be vicious.
Oh, yeah. There's something.
I'm like, I'm in trouble. So I tried to ease back a little bit, you know, and get back in the house. I'm like, I don't want to tick this guy off. But he just seemed to be real friendly, docile. In fact, he was tilting his head to the left, to the right, looking at me. I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's not so vicious, you know. Anyway, mm-hmm. to make a long story short.
He wasn't sick?
Huh?
He wasn't sick?
No. Oh, I'll tell you that in a minute. But my wife would come out. I'm like, hey, I says, go get some carrots. I says, there's a raccoon here. I think I might be able to feed him, you know. So sure enough, she brought some carrots out. And, I held the very tip of it as far away from his mouth as I could be. But I slowly knelt down. And the next thing you know, he's eating the carrot on, you know, the other end of the carrot that I'm holding in my hand. I'm like, this is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. This is once in a lifetime thing, right? So now I'm getting real brazen. As I'm holding the carrot, I reached over very slowly, and the next thing you know, I'm patting a wild raccoon. And he wasn't the least bit bothered by it. I'm like, is this somebody's pet?
Yep,
I'm thinking this is going to be somebody's pet, but he wasn't. No, he was wild. Anyway, the next thing you know, my wife brings a camera out. We got pictures. I got pictures of me patting him, my wife's patting him. Then I start to walk away. You know, I drop the carrot. I'm like, well, you know, our luck can't last forever here. I figured, you know, we'll head out, go back in the house. He followed me. He was like drunk. You know, he seemed really out of it. It turns out.
That sounds like he's sick.
Well, no, he wasn't. He was, he had just come out of hibernation. It was so warm. His time clock was off.
And okay, that's all it was?
They're not even out during the daytime, you know, so he was just
all
messed
up. They're nocturnal, exactly.
Right. But you know what happened? Months later, you know, it got cold again, of course. He went back to hibernation. Several months later, it was like in April, you know, we had the trash bins outside under the steps.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear some noise out there. I look out, and sure enough, it was him.
Right.
And this was in the early evening. The sun hadn't fully set yet, so it was still pretty light out. But he's coming raiding our trash, you know. So I open a door, and I'm like, hey, get out of there. I'm clapping my hands, you know, get out of there. He looked up, and once he saw it was me, it's like he's thinking, oh, yeah, right, I'm not afraid of you. I know who you are. So he just went back, and he's still, you know, rummaging through the trash. I'm like, you little snip. So I walked over to him. I'm like, hey, come on, get out. So finally he realized I wasn't going to let him alone. But all he did was he didn't run off. He just hopped out of the barrel. And
nonchalantly.
Yeah, just slowly he walks away, and he's looking at me, twisting his head as he walks away, like, I'll be back type of thing, you know?
Yeah, well,
it had to be the same one. It had to be him. He recognized me. It was so funny.
Or he's looking back at you thinking, you know, what got into you now? You know, you're helping me out, now you're kicking me out.
But that was the coolest thing. I've had a wild raccoon. They got really coarse hair, really gruff hair.
They're beautiful animals. I almost pet one. I get some coming around in the summertime in the evenings with skunks for the last few summers now. Now, the key, and since I'm an herbalist and my formulas are great, what I do is I take care of the cats and I take care of the raccoons and the skunks. I put some organic milk out and I put some of my infection killer in just a little bit. And I know I'm deworming them, and I'm killing off any form of infection, so I don't ever have to worry about them getting rabies, getting sick. And by doing that, and then I feed them sunflower seeds, and they're totally content, and they're very, they become very gentle.
You feed skunks? I got a neighbor that feeds skunks. Now, that's really going some.
Yes.
She actually goes out there and throws food to them just a foot or two away. They come right up to her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
messing with disaster. Well, yeah.
But Charlie, it's amazing because many times when people come around and there's skunks, and I said it's okay, just don't scare them. You know, like they're coming into the front door and they're walking through across the porch and there's skunks on the porch, for example. And
what I'd be afraid of is that they're not afraid of her. They know her. You know, she goes out there all the time. But I'd be afraid that somebody might walk by and make a noise and scare them, and she's going to get
They'll let loose. Yeah. But it's, you know, once they really know the area and the people that are, and they're, you know, that are helping them, and they understand they're being helped, they know that. And so they become very gentle, very passive. You can walk, you know, walk right up to them, no problem. The raccoons come to me, they all come to me. In fact, Charlie, I used to get a mockingbird. I haven't seen it since last winter.
Yeah, my mother had a chickadee land on her hand, ate right out of her hand. She just stood
come
there
right to me.
Yeah.
Come right up to me, and as well as a lot of pigeons and stuff as well. Just come right up to me out of nowhere.
Anyway, Mike, there's a break. Thanks for your call. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Charlie.
All right, man. Take care. Okay, folks, short break. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Two Thirds Radio. Got another caller on the line. Before I go to him, though, I just wanted to mention something else interesting here. This is pretty wild. Plants, you know, vines that depend on poles or whatever, you know, to grow. They need something to cling on. Did you know that if you move a pole that a vine is reaching toward, it'll actually change its direction and head toward that pole? If you put an obstruction in the way of that pole, the vine will reach its way around the obstruction and cling toward that pole. It knows the pole is there, even if it can no longer, quote, see it. Even if the pole is no longer in sight of the vine, it will work its way around that obstruction, find the pole, latch onto it, and then climb up. Now, how in the world is that possible? I'm telling you, the plant world is far more bizarre and mysterious than what we give credit for. Anyway, plenty more weird stuff like that, but let's go to our caller here, Steve in Ohio. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Hello, Charles. How are you doing?
I got a
cat story to tell you. I always thought when I was growing up, I always thought that cats was like not as bright as dogs. I always had dogs, you know. And when I got married, my wife had a Siamese cat, and this cat was really attached to my wife. She probably lived 16, 17 years. And See, my wife and I, we both worked, and when my wife went to work, I would come home from work, and so I'd be there by myself. So there's several times when I fell asleep with a cigarette in my mouth, and this Siamese cat would come over to the couch where I was laying, and she'd have her back legs on the floor and her two front paws up on the couch by my face, and she would pat me on the face until I woke up and put that cigarette out. She's like frantic about that. I couldn't believe it.
Wow. They sense the danger, yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't think cats were smart enough to notice something like that, but she'd like, this cat would like set, always sense when my wife was going to come home, you know, maybe 10 minutes before my wife came home, she would jump in the window, you know. So
Oh, were you done?
Yeah.
Yeah, this cat I got now, his name is Cupcake. He's black with a white filling. You know, his stomach is white. This cat's unbelievable. He thinks he's a dog. You know, he used to drink out of the toilet when we first got him. We had to put the lid down. He swats balls around. To this day, he loves grapes.
When I was younger,
a grape for him and he'll shoot it back to you. But I just wanted to tell you this one real quick. A few years ago, he used to, always come in the room at night, in the middle of the night, jump up in the bed and come up and, you know, lick my face like a dog. And it drove me nuts because I couldn't get back to sleep. You know, he'd be, you know. So one day I put, I closed the door. Well, the cat was smart. He knew that the door didn't latch tight, that all he had to do was push it open and it would open. So I'm like, you son of a gun. So I pushed the door shut again and I put a heavy laundry basket in front of it, right? I lie down. I'm trying to get back to sleep. I was just starting to drift off to sleep, and suddenly I hear broom, 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 broom. I hear him running across the living room rug. And then I hear this big boom. He must have leaped into the air and probably cut sideways, you know, but he body slammed into the door. I hope he cut sideways. I hope he didn't ram head first into the thing. He got a running start. He slammed into the door, which of course knocked the laundry basket over, and then he pounced on me. I mean, I couldn't outsmart him. Then my daughter's bedroom door had this gap underneath. It was kind of high off the floor. We'd be in there playing, and the door wouldn't be, you know, latched shut, but it would be pushed over, and the door was kind of wide, so it would be wedged against the door frame, kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what held it shut, so it would take a good push to open it. Well, the cat knew that, and so I'd be playing there with her, and all of a sudden, it was the funniest thing. You'd see this white paw reaching under the door. He would grab the door, curl his paw around the base of the door, and pull on it and open the door and come in. He's funny. This cat's unbelievable. Smart.
Do you think over the generations these animals might be getting a little bit smarter?
Yeah, really. Maybe they'll take the world over and we'll have peace.
Okay, thanks, Charles.
All right, thanks a lot.
Okay, bye.
All right, guys. Coming back to plants here. The bizarre world of plants. You know, here's another example of something we take for granted, and yet this is pretty profound. It just so happens that plants breathe in what we breathe out, and we breathe in what they breathe out. They breathe out oxygen, which we breathe in, and of course we breathe out carbon dioxide, which they breathe in. There's this transference, this exchange that goes on. Very interesting. You know, again, attribute that to chance. But, you know, plants seem to know, guys, which ants will steal their nectar, closing when these ants are about, and then opening later when there's enough dew on their stems to keep the ants from climbing. Again, this seems to imply some type of consciousness on the part of plants. The more sophisticated acacia plant actually enlists the protection of certain ants, which it rewards with a nectar in return for the ants' protection against other insects and herbivorous predators. So there's like this symbiotic relationship that goes on with plants like that. They actually will reward the ant with nectar for its protection. Amazing stuff. The mightiest of oak trees, guys, or for that matter, the giant sequoia trees of California, so enormous that you can literally drive a Mack truck through them. All started from a single tiny seed. You ever stop and think about that for a minute? The tiniest little seed you can fit on the tip of your finger ultimately becomes these whopping, massive, giant sequoia trees you can drive a Mack truck through. How does that happen? How do you get these massive structures? And by the way, trees are the largest living things known to man throughout all of Earth history, including the dinosaurs. Nothing ever known to have existed on this planet, nothing living, has ever achieved the giant growth size of trees. They are, in fact, not only the largest growing living things, but the longest living. You know, there's trees on the planet today that are 4,000 or 5,000 years old. They were alive when the pyramids were being built. I mean, that's astonishing if you think about it. Plants, again, truly are amazing. But here's something, even before I get to that, just checking my notes here. This is another little interesting piece of trivia for you. It was a 3,400-year-old bean that was found in King Tut's tomb that actually germinated and grew. It was still alive. Not a kick in the head. But anyway, here's something interesting coming back to our discussion of the giant sequoia trees. You ever find it strange when you think that these trees, as big as they are, remember, they're I don't even know anybody. If anybody has the statistics on that, I didn't write it down here. But you know how tall those trees actually grow? They're enormous, hundreds and hundreds of feet. I don't even know what the average height is, but they're massive. And yet, when you look at the base around these trees, or for that matter, the whole forest, you don't see even one instance where the ground is lower than the surrounding area. The ground is level in these forests. Even if you just had one of these trees alone by itself, the ground would not be low in the area around the base of the trunk from the rest of the surrounding area. Why? Why is that? Wouldn't common sense dictate that for these trees to grow to their enormous size, they must be drawing massive amounts of soil from the ground and therefore should cause the ground to proportionately sink to compensate for the loss of all of that soil that was used to build this tree? Do you see what I'm saying? Believe it or not, this is far more of a mystery than you'd care to, you know, than most people would realize. It is, in fact, a mystery, guys, where trees get the bulk of their material from. They've actually taken trees and planted them in a pot of 300 pounds of soil. And after the tree grew for, you know, 3-4 years, they took the tree out, they carefully removed all the soil from its roots, and they weighed the soil in the pot, and guess what it weighed? 300 pounds. The soil had not lost any of its bulk. It still weighed the same 300 pounds that it weighed when the tree was first planted in the pot as a seed. Where did all that material come from? It didn't come from the soil. Sure, some minute mineral traces were drawn up from the soil, but no significant amount that could be measured with an average scale. But, I mean, we're talking hundreds of pounds now that the tree, you know, accumulated in the time that it was in that pot. Where did all those hundreds of pounds come from? Didn't come from the soil, guys. Only a very insignificant trace amount of that 300 pounds came from the soil. But where did all that bulk come from? Some scientists have actually speculated that plants act as transmutators, actually turning water into other minerals. For that matter, it appears that some animals do the same thing. I didn't mention this yesterday. I didn't get around to it. I didn't have time. But they've actually, you know, as an experiment, they've raised some chickens on deliberate calcium-deficient diets to see what kind of eggs, you know, the chickens would hatch, to see if the shells would be soft, because it's the calcium, of course, that gives the shells the hardness. And to their amazement, even though the chickens had no calcium in their diet, the shells were just as hard and just as high in calcium as if they had a high calcium diet. So then they thought, well, maybe they're drawing the calcium from their bones. But they measured the bone density of these chickens, and this was done over several years' time. And, you know, the chickens were ill from lack of calcium, but nevertheless, they were still producing eggs that had just as much calcium as the chickens that had a high calcium diet. And their bones were not losing mass, so they weren't drawing the calcium from their bones. Where is this calcium coming from? The chickens somehow, as far as the scientists could tell, were actually producing calcium out of thin air. Were they taking other substances that they had in their diet and transmutating? Well, we do know today, folks, that this is possible. We can transmutate lead into gold. It's an extremely expensive process, the way that we know to do it today. But is there another way that that this can be done that we have yet to discover that chickens have been doing for all of known chicken history? And do trees do it as well? Because all these, you know, the trees I mentioned that were grown in the pot there with the 300 pounds of soil, all that was given those trees was water. That's it. Nothing else. And yet the soil did not change in its weight. It was still 300 pounds years later as it was when the seed was first planted in the pot. So where did that, where did those hundreds of pounds of tree material come from? You know, even if you dehydrated the tree, took all the water out, it's still going to be, a heavy item. You know, where did all that weight come from? Where did all that bulk, all that material come from? Does the tree transmutate the water that it's given into other minerals? You'd almost have to answer that in the positive. Here's another example. In Rothamsted, England, a team of scientists monitored a small field of grass and clovers for 17 years, mowing the property only two or three times per year. At the end of the 17-year period, they determined that in order to replace what had been removed from the field over the years, they would need to dump in that field, check this out, over 5,700 pounds of lime, 2,700 pounds of manganese, 4,700 pounds of potash, 2,700 pounds of phosphoric acid, and 5,700 pounds of nitrogen. Yet over that 17-year period of time, all that grass that was mowed and removed and hauled away did not diminish from the soil's mass. You know, they measured the level of the ground. It had not changed in that 17-year period, and yet they continued to mow the grass and remove all of this material, the grass and the clovers and whatnot. And so this is the figure that they come up with. These are the figures that they come up with. 5,700 pounds of lime, 2,700 pounds of manganese, on and on and on. Where did it come from? And why didn't the soil become depleted, not only from its mineral content, but depleted from its bulk? You understand what I'm saying? It's just like the tree. Where does all this bulk come from? The amount of soil is still 300 pounds years later after the tree had grown to that enormous size. Well, the same here with this field in England. The field had not been, had not lost any of its soil content. It had not dropped in level. You know, the amount of dirt was still the same. But yet all of these, hundreds, probably thousands of pounds of grass had been mowed and removed away, containing all of these minerals, thousands of pounds worth, but yet there's nothing there to indicate that any of the soil had actually disappeared. So because of things like this, the ones that did these experiments anyway, have concluded that plants must somehow actually transmutate minerals from one mineral to another, atom on the atomic level. Alchemy, if you will. Again, how else can you account for this? These are things that, again, we just take for granted. We don't really stop to think about it, but something's going on here more than meets the eye, I'll tell you that. One scientist who has studied into this matter considerably, plant transmutations of elements, that is, is Pierre Barringer, professor of professor and director of the Laboratory of Organic Chemistry at the famous Ecole Polytechnique in France, in response to a panel of scientists who had critically reviewed his work, he once wrote, quote, "I understand perfectly well that you are astonished by these results, for they are astonishing. I understand perfectly well that you are seeking the error which could make nonsense of these experiments, but so far no such error has been found. The phenomenon stands. Plants can transmutate elements." This was a French scientist. For years and years and years, he did experiments like this, trying to make sense of it, trying to come up with an alternative explanation, and he said he could not do it. The only way he can explain phenomena like this is that plants are, in fact, transmutating from one mineral to another, from one form of atom to another. I don't know, guys. What do you think? Anyways, another short break. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back with one more segment. What it's done to me, to lose the love I knew, to safely leave it to you.
Attention. This is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
The Berkeylight's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylight, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run, yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
Okay, guys. Welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. This is interesting. This is an excerpt from a November 13th, 1966 New York Times article from their science section. They said, "The largest single manufacturing process in the world takes place in one of the smallest units of life, cells of green plants. The manufacturing process is photosynthesis. Each year, this process accounts for the transformation of 100 billion tons of the inorganic element carbon into organic forms that support life. By contrast, all the big blast furnaces of the world make only a half billion tons of steel in the same time. So think about that. We have a far more efficient manufacturing process going on naturally in the plant kingdom than what man is even capable of doing, guys. That's pretty impressive. And it's all done, again, autonomously, just like we digest our food autonomously. We don't even think about it. What set this into place? What started this? Such a complicated chemical process or series of processes, and yet it goes on all the time automatically. Anyway, in the last few moments, I thought, I mean, there's actually more, but I'm not going to. If I start something, I'll never have time to finish it anyway. So I'll just, leave it up to you. If you want to ask for the transcripts, I'll be happy to send them, because there's a lot more bizarre stuff. I'll tell you, it's fascinating, the plant world. But I thought I'd read a couple little poems and anecdotes I wrote years ago. Here's one called Recipe for Propaganda. I love this one. Fox News follows this one to a T. Start with a pinch of finely chopped truth. And then add one heaping portion of lies. Mix thoroughly. If the truth separates from the lies, water it down and continue mixing. Add a dash of compromise while blending in some apathy. Texture should be very smooth. Next, add in some bad apples. You may also want to add in your own blend of spices to make it more palatable. If bitter, add some sweet talk. You may even want to experiment with various colorings to enhance appeal. Best when chilled. However, most tend to prefer it lukewarm. Serves as many as you can get to swallow it. A real crowd pleaser. So, if you want that, I can send that as well. Wrote that back in the mid-90s, and little did I know how true that was. I mean, I wasn't even aware of half the stuff back then. Of course, back then, half the stuff that's been going on, wasn't even in place yet. Although I knew about, the agenda for the New World Order. I knew they were controlling the media, but oh my goodness, guys, compared to what's going on today, the media was, kind of like RBN back in the mid-90s. I mean, it's so bad now. It's gotten so much worse. Oh, there isn't even a hint of truth to it, Before, you got some truth. They had to mix a little truth in, to make it look convincing. But today, none of it is. Absolutely none. It's so disgusting, guys. I don't know how people, except maybe for a laugh, I don't know how people can watch the news anymore. I really don't. Anyway, guys, that's it for today, all the time we got. So have a great weekend, and we'll see you guys on Monday. Take care.
With recent